Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Amazing victories at the U.S. Supreme Court on religious freedom and free speech. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Well, there's been two amazing decisions this year. Liberty Counsel filed amicus briefs in both of these cases. From the U.S. Supreme Court, there is the huge win regarding freedom of speech involving the LGBTQ agenda and a creative designer of websites, and then also another huge win at the Supreme Court regarding a former postal carrier who was forced to quit his job because the Postal Service wanted him to work on Sundays. Let's begin talking about the 303 creative case, Holly. That's a major win at the U.S. Supreme Court.
Absolutely. You know, I interviewed Lori Smith, and she's just a very nice, dedicated to her faith woman who wants to be able to use her talent, and she's very talented, by the way, to create her expressive designs on her websites, but not be forced to have to promote same-sex marriage, which is against her religious beliefs. So she was fighting a Colorado state law, same law that Jack Phillips, you know, the cake baker, has been fighting, that censors and coerces the speech of creative professionals whose religious beliefs do not conform to state accepted beliefs. Example, same-sex marriage, gender confusion, LGBT agenda, etc.
Yeah, she is a website designer, and she creates specific websites for individual weddings. Mm-hmm. So you want to get married, and if you want her to create a special website, she will work with you. She'll listen to your desires and your themes and anything else, and then she'll come up with a website that matches that, that celebrates the beauty and the joy of marriage for that particular couple.
But she only wants to do natural marriage between a man and a woman.
Yeah, so now that's her talent, being able to do that, and that's what she wants to do, is use that talent to help celebrate marriage for marriage that God designed between mm-hmm. a man and a woman. Now someone comes in and says, I want you to create a website, and it's a website that celebrates same-sex marriage, or it could be a website that celebrates, you know, mm-hmm. a polygamous type of relationship.
Right. And she wasn't actually, she hadn't been forced, or she hadn't been asked to do that at that point, but she saw it coming. She saw what the state law was going to
She saw the state law, and she knew based on the state law that she was going to be a target.
Right.
So she did a preemptive lawsuit against the state law, asking for an injunction and a declaratory relief beforehand so she wouldn't get punished, because otherwise the punishment would be quite severe.
Right. I think she was very smart in doing that. And as a result, she had a great victory.
Well, it went all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of 303 Creative, Lori Smith, the website designer. And it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, in our brief that we filed on behalf of this case, Liberty Counsel, we focused on some of the creative arts. And in our brief, we go through different kinds of historic plays mm-hmm. and presentations, compositions, songs, other kinds of copyright with respect to a wide variety of messages. Some of these plays, for example, that we have seen throughout history have been done during times of history where they are protesting the current narrative of the government, whether it's during the Nazi regime or whether it's nuclear war that's impending, you know, during the clash between the United States and the former Soviet Union during the Cold War. Different kinds of things historically are taking place, and people are presenting information via music or plays or performances that have a certain expressive component of a certain viewpoint on that issue. And if you were to allow the government to force people to carry the government's narrative, you would eliminate a lot of our creative activity throughout history.
Right. In fact, I'm kind of surprised the High Court didn't cite our brief, because honestly, it's very interesting. So it's something to read in your spare time.
Well, actually, the High Court actually does have a section in there talking about some of these areas of creativity outside mm-hmm. of this area and how this could actually be applicable to it. So they actually, I think, were thinking about it because the implications are quite significant.
Yeah.
If Colorado, in this case, can tell someone who does creative work, whether it's writing, website designing, singing, dancing, painting, other kinds of decoration, if you're doing some kind of artistic expression, cake decorating, floral decorating, whatever it might be, and it has an artistic component to it, and if they can tell you that if you want to sell wedding cakes, you've got to create a wedding cake, especially for same-sex weddings.
No.
Not a pre-designed cake that's off the shelf. We're not talking about having a standard cake and that you sell it to different kinds of people. We're talking about somebody comes in and says, I want you to design this, and this would be two men on top of a cake, yeah. two women on top of a cake, something like that. And you say, well, no, I can't celebrate that because that goes against my conscience, my religious freedom. Why in the world would you want to force somebody to create something that they oppose? Why would you want somebody to create a painting of an image or images of a scene that is repugnant to them?
Right. In the same regard, celebrating Halloween or doing a satanic design or something like that, you know, a Christian is not going to want to do that.
Well, you know, if somebody was a costume designer and they created costumes for things like sight and sound, you know, just mm-hmm. wonderful costumes, biblical costumes. Now somebody comes in and they want you to create some demonic costume. And you say, no, I don't do that. Why would you force that person to use their creative talents to express something that is in opposition
right.
to what they actually believe? So
right.
I think it's very important. It's a huge win because
absolutely.
If it had gone the other way, the consequences would be disastrous because then the government could come in any situation and force individuals to follow its narrative and punish you when you didn't.
Absolutely. And you know, the other one we filed an amicus brief in is regarding a former postal carrier who was forced to quit his job at the U.S. Postal Service because he said, I can't work on Sundays because according to my Christian faith, I consider it a day of worship and rest. And when he first started out working for them, it wasn't an issue. But then when the Postal Service contracted with Amazon, suddenly they needed him to work on Sundays, even though they had many other employees who could do that.
Yeah, and they no longer accommodated him anymore.
Right.
So he was forced to quit. He took the case up to the U.S. Supreme Court. The lower courts relied upon a 1977 decision from the Supreme Court. Remember, 70s was an activist mm-hmm. year. 71 was Lemon versus Kurtzman that was used against religious freedom and symbols. 73 was Roe versus Wade, the anti-life decision. 77 was the Title VII employment law from 1964 Civil Rights Act that protects people in the workplace against discrimination on account of race, religion, and religion was actually weakened by the court. So this was an anti-religious court. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to have people of faith with equal protection under the civil rights law, so they created this thing called the de minimis standard, meaning that the employer doesn't have to accommodate your beliefs if they can show that they would have to engage in de minimis expenditures, meaning almost nothing. If they would have to pay anything, do anything to modify the workplace, then the employer could win.
But that doesn't make sense for the Postal Service, who has many employees.
I know. And so that's how this person lost. The case went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And the question is, do they overrule the 1977 Transworld Airlines versus Hardison case? And the Supreme Court did. So between 2022 and 2023, Lemon versus Kurtzman's overruled from 1971. Roe versus Wade's overruled from 1973. The employment decision, Transworld Airlines, overruled from 1977. Mm-hmm. And also in 2023, although we're not talking about it in this program today, the affirmative action case with regards to public school admissions was overruled in 2023, and that was from a 1978 case. Also, it involves private school admissions as well.
It's a really good time to be alive to see these cases regarding free speech and religious freedom overturned.
Yeah, so this particular win here involving the postal worker will really help us in some of our vax mandate cases where we're arguing that people ought to be accommodated based upon their religious convictions not to take these COVID shots. This is a huge victory at the U.S. Supreme Court that will have a ripple effect across the country for decades to come. Generational wins with generational impact. For more information, go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.